Ramsey TV.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna finish the week with a bang today. I'm gonna look at our expectation in Christ. One of the most sublime passages in Scripture. It comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. This is definitely a high note to end the week on. Not that I'm averse to high notes during the week, that's perfectly fine with me. But this is really something. But first of all, I would like to thank Mark the Pirate and Elena from Canada, who sent care packages to me. They arrived here today. I tell you what, you folks are so good to me. I'm lavished with love. Thank you, Mark the Pirate. Thank you, Elena from Canada. The packages arrived, and I am very grateful. Greg, thank you. That was an amazing package you sent me. I feel the love from the saints, and we are a community. We're a body. We're the body of Christ. We have a common head, and it's an amazing thing, and it's a privilege to be in the body of Christ with you. We're a club. We're a group, and it's organic. We think of the same things at the same time. Have you noticed that? It's fantastic how God choreographs. I'm going to do a show on that sometime, about how God choreographs the body. There's a Greek word where it actually means choreographed. I'm going to get into that next week. For now, I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. I'm going to need the spectacles. I know I look uber scholarly with these glasses on. I hope nobody is intimidated, but here we go. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. This is our apostle talking to us. Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith of yours. Now, I got a comment here. Don't freak out about that. He talks about your faith, this faith of yours. But remember, this is in the relative. It's fine to talk about your faith. It's fine because we understand that it's only relative. We understand that in the absolute, God is the one that gives us faith. But most of the time in Scripture, God speaks through his apostles, including Paul, in the relative. We're dealing with each other, and we have faith. Let's face it, we have faith. We know who gave it to us. I am hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints. I do not cease giving thanks for you. This was Paul, who was a lonely man in his day. He was rejected by so many people, probably by his own family members. We know he ended up in prison. Well, he's writing this from prison. He's forsaken. All in Asia have forsaken me. It's so painful to read how Paul is so lonely. He said, at my last defense, no one stood with me. His last defense in Rome. But he said, the Lord stood with me. Sometimes that's all you got, but I think that's good enough. Jesus Christ, the Lord, that's good enough. The Lord is standing with you. So Paul says, I do not cease giving thanks. Think of that. I do not cease. He's continuously thankful. This poor, lonely, cold man. He writes Timothy in 2 Timothy, bring my cloak. Because the guy was cold. This is a human being, suffers just like we do, and he's reaching out to the saints and thanking God for them. He knows they're out there. He didn't see very many of them when he was in Rome, but he knows that they're out there. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, I'm not seeing you right now. I'm looking into a camera. I'm facing a wall. I have a light here. I have a phone here, but I know you're out there. And it sounds, I don't want to sound Pentecostal here, but I feel your presence. I know you're with me and I'm with you. I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers. And here's Paul's greatest prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. This is, Paul's gospel is so high that it takes, and it's so of faith right now because we don't see it yet. Paul's gospel so high above the circumcision that the biggest thing we can pray for now is to realize the truth. The truth is so great. We're justified apart from works of law. We're considered sons and daughters of God. We're considered the body of Christ. We're an invaluable part of Christ. We're an indispensable part of Christ. And Paul is praying that the saints come to a realization of that. And that goes for the saints of today. That goes for you and for me, to grow into more and more of a realization of that. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. And this is what that entails. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened. This is not only the head, it's the heart. People accuse us. I know they've accused me over the years. All you're after is head knowledge. You're so intellectual. You just study words and you look at the Greek and all that. No, folks. It's realization of facts, but the heart is not absent here. We have a heart for one another. We have a heart for Jesus Christ. Our emotions are tied into this. We just don't lead with our emotions. That's not our lead card. Emotions come later. Truth comes first. That's the difference. We're not against emotions. We're human. We have emotions. But as I told you, the truth comes first. It's different in the Christian religion, especially the Pentecostal religion. The emotions come first. You have to feel it. We don't have to feel it. When we realize it, it does lead to some good feelings. For you to perceive. Here's what Paul wants you to perceive. Here's what I want you to perceive. And I want to perceive it more and more every day. For you to perceive, what is the expectation of his calling? His calling of us. Paul wants us to expect it every day. We're supposed to think about this. It's supposed to give us an anchor. It's supposed to give us a reason to keep living. And where do you hear what the expectation of his calling is? It's coming up. Oh, yeah. Paul's going to lay it out. He's not going to say that and leave us with nothing. So he wants us to perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to enjoy his allotment. If you want to know your future, look at Christ's future. That's your future. Look at Christ's present. What Christ has now, you're going to have it. As I said yesterday, we're heirs to the King. An enjoyment of his allotment. Some people are afraid, I know, to go to the celestial realm. I know people who are like, it's all dark up there. It's all cold up there. I don't know if I want to go up there. It seems so sterile. No. And other people get the idea that because we're spiritual, because these things are spiritually discerned, that therefore we're not going to enjoy it or something. Like, it's just going to be like, we have to be austere when we get into the celestial realm. Oh, it's very nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. No, it's going to be enjoyment. It's going to be a picnic. It's going to feel good every second when we get the heck out of here. The enjoyment of his allotment among the saints. See, we're his family too. His allotment among the saints. Just as Paul thanks God every day for the saints, guess what? Jesus Christ thanks God every day for us. We're his body. And you're going to find out very soon here that he is incomplete without his body. The analogy is the human body. How would a human body look without a head? You don't want to think about it. Jesus Christ, or how would a head look without a body? Either way, it's not good. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and he's now, for 2,000 years, been perfecting the body. And when that is finished, he's going to be joined with his body. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll let Paul tell you. This is fantastic. The glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, we're his brethren. And what the transcendent greatness of his power into us, Concordance says for us, but there's a little superscript IO, it means into. So his power into us, like I was saying it's earlier this week, Spirit of God makes its home in us, who are believing in accord, that this is fantastic. Buckle in. The transcendent greatness of his power, this is what Paul wants us to perceive, his power into us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength which is operative in the Christ. God is now working an operation within us. And the power is so great that it's the same power that is operating in Jesus Christ. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same power that Christ has. That power is in us right now. We have it in measure, but it's the real deal. It's pure. It's in measure, yes, but whatever little of it there is, it's pure. And it's in accord with the operation of God. What did God do? Rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand. Watch this now, because Paul's about to tell us where Christ is. And where Christ is, this is where we're going to go. Rousing him from among the dead and seating him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this aeon, but in that which is impending, and subjects all under his feet and gives him. Do you realize how big what I just read? It's like cascading glory. But now look what happens next. I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to shut up, and then I'm going to go to the next part, because the next part involves you and me. Seats him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this aeon, but also in that which is impending, and subjects all under his feet, and gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body. He gives everything. Everything that Christ has, he gives to the ecclesia, to the called out ones, us, the riffraff, the offscouring of all things, the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. He gives all of this to us, to the ecclesia. Which is his body, the complement of the one completing the all in all. I want to make sure you understand this before I close. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And the body, that's the context, the body is the complement. The word complement in the Greek is that which fills. Like you take a piece of a pie out and you put the piece of the pie back and it completes, it fills the pie. Jesus Christ, in a sense, had part of him removed. The body, in a sense, the body of Christ. We're now struggling down here on earth. He's glorified. He's up above every name, every sovereignty that is named. And he is waiting for his body. And we complete him. This is astounding. We complete Christ. Let me read it again. Gives him as head over all to the ecclesia. God gives Christ to the ecclesia, which is his body, comma, the complement. The body is the complement of the one, capital O, completing the all in all. Jesus Christ has been commissioned by God by virtue of his death, his entombment, and his resurrection to head up all in the universe. We read about that in Colossians chapter 1. He's going to head up all in the universe to him. And he gives him to the ecclesia the complement, the filling of the one completing the all in all. Christ is not going to start completing the all in all until he is joined with his brethren. He's waiting for us. You think you're waiting for him? He's waiting for you. We keep talking about all the time about, oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait for the snatching away. He's more anxious than you are, because he can't wait to show you his glory, how he's above all sovereignties, all authorities, and he can't wait to show you your part in that amazing organization. You're going to be Christ. You're going to be enchristed. You're going to be part of the Christ. You realize Christ isn't his last name, right? It's his title, the anointed. What's he anointed to do? To complete the universe, to bring everything in subjection to God, that God will be all in all. That work will begin in earnest when we are roused or vivified on our feet and join him in the air. That is when the filling of Christ occurs. And now that Christ has received his complement, now he will fill the universe. We are the complement, the filling of the one completing the all in all. I'm just trying to just give you an inkling of the glory here. Amazing, you can't make this up, the amazing truth that Christ is waiting for us, The one who is completing the all in all is waiting for his completion. That's what this verse is telling us. This is why Paul says, I pray that you come to a realization of this, a recognition of this truth. Paul's desperate for us to see it because it's so great. It takes a special dose of the Spirit to believe this, that we complete Christ who completes the universe. But he doesn't start completing the universe until he's completed, and he's not completed until we join him. We're like opposite poles of a magnet. They just want to come together. Christ in his body, it just wants to happen. It wants to happen. It's like straining to connect, to finally connect. And it takes a miracle of God to keep this from happening every day. What's going to be a miracle when Christ takes us to himself? No, the miracle is that he somehow miraculously keeps this from happening every day. How does this keep from happening? It's so powerful. Christ wants it so badly. How does it keep from happening? It's not the timing of God. When the timing of God is right, he's just going to snap his finger, release that power, and boom, we're going to be smacked together with him, and then the good stuff starts.